little bit longer to get in the pulpit. You know, Kyle, 30 years ago, I could jump that high in the pulpit. But it's good to be with you this morning and to share God's word with you. We're going to talk about something this morning that's very prevalent, and that's the soul. We want to look at God's word, beginning with Matthew chapter 16, if you want to turn your Bibles there. We'll look at verses 24 through 28. Then, later, we'll look at the parable of the lost sheep, which we'll find in Luke 15. Then we'll close in the book of Acts. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. One of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there is some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We know the world that we're living in. You've heard the phrase, follow the money trail. Today, it's about money. And I'm not suggesting that it's a sin to have money, but it is a sin to let money rule you and put that before God. I know many in the church that are wealthy. I know one congregation in the Lubbock area where there are three millionaires in a congregation of 75 people. They use their money wisely. But money can cause many, many problems. And we stop and think about, as Jesus just said, what if we do? What if we have the whole world? My name is Sam, but I don't own Sam's Club. But what if I did? I'd be super wealthy, wouldn't I? And that could cause me to lose my soul if I left God out. Then we're reminded, I believe Mark chapter 10, if my memory serves me correct, remember the rich young ruler? You know, he asked Jesus, what shall I do? I'm paraphrasing. What shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. What was his reaction? He went away sorrowful. Why? M-O-N-E-Y. He didn't want to give it up. And a lot of times, we talk about the soul. I think we lose sight of how important that it is. You know, we just have one soul. And as Jesus pointed out, what could you give in exchange for that soul? You can't. You can't. You know, in this life that we live now, we could have an automobile accident. We can replace that automobile. We may lose our home. We could refinance and get another home. But brethren, if we lose our soul, we've lost it all. We've lost it all. Some get the idea again, back to the money trail. For whatever reason, that maybe on the day of judgment, I can plead with Jesus. And I'll tell you this, there's no use you taking racehorse Haynes with you on the day of judgment because he can't help you. It's going to be either we lose our soul or we save our soul. All of you remember, I'm sure, and I don't know if this program is still active or not, but do you remember Amway, the company Amway? One of the things that they did, they would sign one person up, then that other person, that person would sign someone else up, And it grew and it grew. Let me put this suggestion out here for all of us, especially you, preacher. What if in 1 year's time, not 1 month, not 1 week, not 1 day, but in 1 year's time, we led one soul to Christ Jesus? Elders, get ready to build another church. This won't hold it. We need to think about that. How precious is a soul? And to look out and see someone that is lost in sin, not that you're judging, but by their actions, they're lost in sin. A soul is very, very important. Now let's look at Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, to hear from. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost?" Notice, until he finds it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance." Is that our attitude? Do we feel that way? It's hurtful, and it should hurt us, especially within our own families, to see a loved one that their soul is in jeopardy. And I'll give you just a brief example. I don't mind using my family as an example if it'll help someone. 6 of us children, all 6 were baptized into Christ Jesus. As the old saying goes, when the smoke cleared, there was 2 of us. Myself and my younger brother, who served as an elder in the Lord's church. So see what can happen, how we can slip away, and that's very, very hurtful to see that. You know, sometimes we look at the number 1 and say, "Well, that's so minimal, just 1. Well, what did God say? I believe you'll have to trust my memory. I believe this is 2 Peter, verse 3, chapter 3 and about verse 9. What was said there? God, what? Does not want one sinner to be lost, but to come unto repentance. Stop and think about that statement. I don't know how many millions of people from the beginning of time have lived and passed from this earth, but we can safely say millions upon millions. And God cares. He does not want one soul to be lost. How about you? How about me? Is that our attitude? Do we feel that way? That we want to do everything in our power to see that a soul is not lost? Sometimes it's very difficult when we look at life, and as I said earlier, see these things happening, especially within the church, and we need to be very careful. Kyle, you can attest to this as a minister. Throughout the years that I've been a member of the Lord's church, which is 80 years, I have seen ministers of the gospel stray away and leave the Lord's church. That's very hurtful. That's very hurtful. And let me say this, and I don't mean to embarrass our preacher, but let me tell you one thing. You preach the truth, brother, and we appreciate and love you for that. And you elders, thank you for your leadership. So I know this is supposed to be a short sermon, so I guess it is, because I'm about ready to close. But in closing, we all know the steps that lead to salvation. When we go to the second chapter of the book of Acts, they knew what they had done. They had crucified Jesus, and they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? And what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Kyle, here's something that I've caught on that verse. Very few teachers, or preachers, have I heard point this out. Talking about baptism, okay, look at this scenario. No baptism, no remission of sins. It's just that simple. So we know what the Lord wants us to do, what we do need to do to accept the Lord. You say, well, you know, preacher, this is 2023. Things are different. Got a dollar bill for every time I've heard that statement, I'd be in Hawaii living very comfortably. But we know this, that this book says what it says, and it means what it says. You may be here this morning, and your soul may be in danger, or you know someone else that it is. We plead with you at this time, if you're subject to the invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ask you to come as we stand.